Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? It's the NFL Fantasy Life podcast you are listening to. I am James Coe. We got the full Fantasy Fortress in the building today. Alex Gelhard, the new television star, the whiz kid from Wisconsin, making his NFL Fantasy Live debut yesterday. Congratulations, pal. You were great.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. We are joined by the franchise, Matt Franciscovich, and rocking a bandana?
Yeah.
You are rocking a bandana.
It's pretty stellar.
It is stellar.
One, okay, first,
Matt
one,
Harmon.
One, he's wearing a bandana. Two, yes. The hair isn't like
well, that's why.
In full bloom.
Yeah,
today.
Well, look. In full bloom.
Full disclosure to the audience, I'm in here on my day off because I'm dedicated to this brand.
Yes.
But yeah, no, when I'm not, you know, on full fleek, you know, with work and, you know, looking good, I throw the headband.
I'm working looking good.
Well, I throw the headband on. Like, I haven't showered. I haven't put any gel in my hair.
See, that's a little TMI.
I'm all natural.
We don't need that. We don't need to know that.
You guys couldn't smell that in there?
No, but he's going full hipster mode. And what I've come to realize is that hipsters – basically dressed like West Virginians.
He also has a shirt. He also has a shirt with a mountain on.
That's
it
what
right
I'm
now.
Saying.
Yeah, it's
that's
a,
what I'm saying.
It's
he's
a mountain. He's the mountain road man. Less traveled.
It's a long sleeve shirt. It's got a mountain on it. He's wearing red pants and he's got a bandana holding up his head.
I'm taking a picture of this to tweet out so that people can see.
Very good
exactly
point.
I don't know if Harmon's going to allow that.
Oh this is
it.
Good. Yeah,
he's got
this
it for the
good.
Brand.
it looks like he's here serving up organic coffee.
Look, there's
talking fantasy football.
I wish he was. It'd be better than the stuff they have here.
There are a lot of like life paths in my journey that I have forsaken to end up here at the NFL.
Okay.
One of which was like leading some sort of radical revolutionary commune. And channeling that today. There are a lot out there, and we can discuss those on the other podcast.
On the other podcast.
On the Feelings podcast.
Or the radicalism
political podcast. But for now, we'll just stick
with this. I love it. We're going to talk about good and bad matchups today. We'll talk about miracles that we are expecting down the stretch because,
maybe not expecting, hoping for.
We're hoping for. But holy cow, what a game we saw yesterday. We'll get to Daily Daps. I hope we have time to get to a few of your mailbag questions, top headlines, and of course. But let's start by reacting to this Thursday night football game. Holy cow, what a game. What a game it was. It was a slow-moving first half. Green Bay's offense, I mean, literally did nothing. 27-23 your final. Green Bay, if you went to sleep, I don't know, maybe like halfway through the third.
You could have gone to sleep at halftime. It was 17-0.
Yeah.
But they got up 20-0, Detroit did. 20-0. And you're like, it's over, baby.
Yeah.
It's over.
They put up this stat at halftime. At halftime, Green Bay had 16 rush yards and 62 passing yards.
Oh.
You might have thought it's over, but last night I was having dinner with a good friend of mine who by chance is a Lions fan.
All right.
When it was 17-0, he looked at me and calmly said, they're going to lose.
What?
He said, they're going to lose.
Why would they lose?
Because he's a Lions fan. And he's like, they're going to lose.
I see.
And as soon as Richard Rodgers came down in the end zone with that football at the end, he texted me just simply – a smiley face emoji.
Oh, it's sad and
that
depressing that he would be up 17-0 and the defense holding Green Bay to nothing.
All right, but fantasy-wise, I want to spin off of what Franchise said with their 16 rushing yards. This backfield is now verging on, like, Washington, New York territory.
What do you do?
In, like, shoulder shrug.
What do
you
do?
Name a three-headed monster last
week. Well, Starks and Lacy had a combined 14 attempts for 19 yards.
Woo,
because at
not
first,
good.
Lacy was in the doghouse to start because –
why was he in the doghouse?
McCarthy, apparently, there might have been something in practice, but he's also a coach that is like, oh, you fumbled, go sit on the bench. So then he put Lacy in the doghouse, and then Starks fumbled, thankfully, into the end zone so Randall Cobb owners could get a touchdown.
How random.
Then he
was
in the doghouse, and then John Crockett, the undrafted free agent, was the one that looked the best out of all of them.
So I had to look up John Crockett. John Crockett is this guy's name.
Did you get his 40 time?
You know I did.
Yeah.
You know I did. He ran a 4.6 240. He's got weird pro day results. A 4.6 240, which is just
It's not fast.
That is atrocious.
Pretty sure Lacy was faster than that.
I think so, actually. Eddie Lacy coming out of Alabama.
Today?
Dude, when he gets a full head of steam.
Today is another.
Today?
That's a lot of momentum going one direction.
Running for 20 yards.
But he's got a weird pro day result, 4.6240. But he has a 40-inch vert. How is that possible?
Damn.
Wow.
So he's got explosiveness,
You could see that on his runs.
I don't know.
Probably got accelerated.
His nickname, by the way, is Taz.
I like it.
From North Dakota State, as in Tasmanian Devil.
All right. I like it.
Why do you need a nickname when your last name's Crockett?
I don't know.
I figured his nickname should have been Sonny.
Sonny Crockett.
I'm sure you're too young for that, Harmon.
Phew, right over my head.
Davey?
Even if that came out last year, that might have gone over Harmon's head because he doesn't do anything other than serve organic coffee and watch tape on Allen Robinson. That's all he does.
What more do you need in
life? That's true.
The saddest part is that Aaron Rodgers led the team in rushing yards.
He did.
He also led the team in passing yards. And another guy named Rodgers led the team in receiving.
Oh, my gosh.
Rodgers all around.
Can we talk about how Gelhar has Richard Gronkers on
the I was wondering if anybody
rundown?
Would notice
no.
that.
There it is. Richard Gronkers.
It's all in jest. It was all in jest.
Come on.
8 catches out of 8 targets. That's the anti-Devontae Adams game.
Yep.
146 in a touch. He got 61 of it on the final play. A Hail Mary. And it was so great, too, because, they knew the background of Richard Rodgers' dad going to Cal as well, having a big part in the play, that crazy the band is on the field play. And now his son, also part of one of these epic.
That was apparently the longest walk-off touchdown in NFL history, at least since 1983, as long as they can track stuff like that.
61 yards.
Man,
the arm strength on Rodgers. I know about the arm strength, but holy cow.
That was amazing.
I know it's a Hail Mary, so it's like, oh, it could be lucky, but he put that right where he wanted to, 70-plus yards down the field.
He seemed surprised that it actually reached the end zone, though, in his interview after.
It was
he had
there.
A good running start.
Yeah, he did.
He got a good running start, and it was an outfielder, making a throw from deep center field at that point.
Yeah.
If they made a great point, too. If Detroit had just contained – and he couldn't get that running start, there's no way he could put it. He'd have to put more on a line, obviously. He could get it out there, but he'd have to put it more on a line.
Right.
And it's the fact that the pressure came in, and then he escaped a sack, too.
Yeah.
Spun away, and then took a crazy running start.
What he does.
And you know the funny part about that, too? I was telling Harmon before the podcast started. It actually helps that Richard Rodgers was so slow. He was, lumbering down there. He was, last dude there. And then he's hey, I'm going to go get this ball.
He was at, the 20-yard line when Rodgers let it go. So nobody knew he was even
just came under it like
near.
A dog chasing.
Yeah, he was it's in the air. Yeah, I better get down.
Guys,
there.
I think that was all part of the plan because
all
the Detroit Lions were like, we got to cover Devontae Adams
in
the end zone.
Yes.
Here comes Richard Rodgers, just boxes him out. And by boxes, I mean Devontae Adams, not the Lions.
What a catch, perfect. Though.
Oh, it was beautiful. Aaron Rodgers ended up 24 of 36. Very efficient, given that he had a lot of drops and guys weren't getting open. And
none of his wide receivers did anything.
Nothing. Yeah, no. 273 through the air. Not a lot of yardage, but 2 touchdowns passing and a rush TD as well. And, man, that rush TD was pretty nice, too, a 20-yarder. So, it was what a weird fantasy day for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
Just a weird fantasy day. No doubt.
A
20-yard run and a 61-yard bomb. For touchdown as well. Because he would have ended up with about 210 through the air if he didn't get that last touchdown.
Yeah.
Thereabouts, yeah.
Mm. Yikes.
Just the one passing and one rushing touchdown.
It would have been 23 completions for 210 yards. That's not good.
Not a great average.
Matthew Stafford has continued his resurgence. 220 through the air, 2 touchdowns. I thought he looked pretty good.
Solid day, and the Packers defense has been playing a lot better of late. So, Stafford's not going to be able to pick him apart like he did the Eagles, but he's becoming more of a relatively safe floor play with the offense jiving under Jim Bob Cooter.
I thought he really looked pretty good back there, too, just slinging that ball around. I thought he tried to get the ball to his playmakers a lot more, too. Megatron, 44 yards and a touchdown. Gosh, he could have had one more, too.
Could have had two more.
Yeah, he was close to a couple.
Yeah, you're right. But that touchdown he caught was was Megatron-esque.
He just looks like a giant, like, catching a pea out of the air. Like, the way he just, like...
It was so brilliant.
He just picks the ball out of the air.
Sam Shields had good coverage on that, too. And
yeah, he did.
No.
Yeah,
Megatron's like... Oh, no.
Nah, I'm good. This is a touchdown. Golden Tate, 8 receptions, 63 yards. Still no touchdown for him. And Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb's touchdown. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Hey, man, Julio Jones got one like that. Fantasy owners will take it.
Yeah. I mean, really?
I play in a league where you don't get rewarded for those touchdowns. And
how do you not?
It's like a custom league where it's like an individual stat that needed to be set at the beginning of the year that wasn't set. Yeah, and
that's
so
weird.
This guy who owns Cabo was at the game last night was emailing us, and he was all mad about it. And
wah-wah.
Yeah.
real quick before we move on, because we don't need to spend forever on this game. Abdullah looked good running the football, but they keep giving the GD football to Joik Bell, who had 8 rushes for 5 yards again.
Even with Joe Lombardi gone, you know, former Saints coordinator, this is still like a frustrating three-way Saints sort of committee back in the day where they have Riddick as a great receiver out of the backfield. He deserves his looks. But, yeah, they're going to mix Joik Bell in there, and that's just the way it is. And Abdullah's kind of that. He's not getting a lot of targets. He's only getting like 13 to 15 carries. So you're really expecting on a good day, like last night, 67 rushing yards.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what's weird. They threw the ball to Joik Bell twice. They threw it to Amir Abdullah once.
Yeah.
That's odd.
Yeah, it's weird.
Theo Riddick got, 6 targets, 5 catches, 27 yards, 1 carry for just 4 yards. Amir Abdullah, you're right. He did look good on the ground. 13 carries, 67 yards. He broke off that super long 36-yard run, which I guess was the longest run of the season for the Detroit
Lions. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
That is sad.
But starting-wise, I guess, like, unless we see Joik Bell, like, go more to the sideline, you can't really start Amir Abdullah except in the deepest of leagues. And Theo Riddick will still be a PPR start. He didn't have the yardage this game, but he still had 5 catches.
Yeah. I will say, though, I thought Amir Abdullah – made you feel better if you have him like in a dynasty league.
True.
Yeah.
Because there were some weeks midway through the season where you just felt like giving up on this guy altogether. But at least last night gave you some hope that there is a future for him.
It's important to watch these rookies down the stretch, and he's one of them that we're probably not interested in playing this year, but we want to look for next year as, you know,
breakout candidates for sure.
Totally.
I do want to spend a little bit. I know we've broken down this game to death, but man, we really do, I think, got to talk about what's going to happen moving forward with this Green Bay rushing attack. Eddie Lacy, what do you do with Eddie Lacy?
Yeah, I mean, you can't. This is the thing. Shrug. You just shrug. You can't drop these guys because Lacy, like the previous 2 weeks, was the best player on the offense. Basically.
I agree.
And then he gets put in the doghouse and he gets only 5 carries. You know, Starks, meanwhile, he has his upside, but then he also has frustrating runs and will fumble. So, like, the trouble is you can't drop any of these guys, but you can't start them next week either.
So,
like, honestly, like, Aaron Rodgers is the only person in this offense I would start with any confidence the rest of the way.
So, you know, we had Shanahanigans.
Okay.
Then we moved to Bellatrix.
Okay.
Is this McCarthyism?
with the headband on.
With the headband, dude. Yeah. Oh, my God. Marcus, well done. This is McCarthyism now.
Down the stretch, they have Dallas, Oakland, Arizona, and then they finish with the Vikings. So
2 of the 4 are good.
Yeah. Theoretically, the next 2
in
Dallas and Oakland in the fantasy playoffs, theoretically, you could run on those teams.
I guess,
but what do you do? I mean, do you just say, you know what, forget it. I'm playing Eddie Lacy. If he gets me nothing, he gets me nothing. But if he breaks off 20 points, he gets me 20 points.
I don't know. He's probably the one that you can do that with a modicum of confidence. But
it's just scary that he's at the point where he will be put in the doghouse. You know, like he's a feature back. He was a feature back. He's one of those guys now where you gotta worry, like, oh, if he fumbles, is he not gonna see the field again?
That's McCarthyism, man. The hard truth.
I mean, I think either one of these guys, right, Starks or Eddie Lacy, is at least flex consideration. There's no doubt about it. Starks had 60 yards. If he gets a touchdown, it's a pretty good day for a flex guy. Mm-hmm. Eddie Lacy, it's just boom or bust. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a guy that had 0.1 points yesterday. He's had a negative point performance, and yet he's also sandwiched in somehow a couple of 18-point performances as well. Ah, what do you do with this guy?
It's McCarthyism. Let's just move on. Let's not give it time.
So rough. All right, let's do top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
I do want to apologize, by the way, for Richard Rodgers because I think I came on the podcast on Tuesday and said, Richard Rodgers, I love Richard Rodgers, but he's done.
Well, we were talking about that, Dave.
We got Justin Perillo coming. He's making an impact. Andrew Corliss is out there for Green Bay as well. Forget it. Richard Rodgers. Rip Rodgers. He's done. You can't play him.
Yeah, we all figured it was going to be coming more of a tight end by committee, and then welp.
My bad. I apologize to those who benched Richard Rodgers on my behest. Anyways, top headlines. We start in Pittsburgh. Big Ben, Devontae Freeman. Cleared from concussion protocols. Devontae Freeman obviously plays for Atlanta, but, you know, they played it. So there you go. Are you starting these guys?
Yes.
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 Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Sure.
Yes. 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 All right, we'll move on. Good. How about Tyler Eifert? He misses practice again. It doesn't – I don't know. I would be surprised if he plays. They play
Same.
The Bengals – or excuse me, they play the Browns, the Bengals do, and you got to think the coaching staff feels confident about winning that game. Without the services of Tyler Eifert.
Yeah.
Well, and they just don't want to risk him for the playoffs. This is
right.
a team that's going to be, you know, in the mix. And it's a neck injury, so it's also one you don't want to play around with,
yeah.
although it's not supposed to be serious. But I'm going to guess he's not going to play. If picking somebody up, like Kyle Rudolph is a good streaming option
Kyle
this week.
A great streaming option.
Scott Chandler, if you won that waiver wire bingo. Any other tight ends you guys like?
I'd say look at Vance McDonald.
Yeah,
he's kind of a deeper pull, but Vance McDonald's getting a lot of a run right now. So.
Yep.
And then, of course, danger zone play. Tyler Croft.
Oh, he of the stick figure.
The advanced analytics
yeah.
that you live on Wednesday.
Hey, instant Cameron. Replay. Watch the instant replay. That's key.
Man.
Cameron Brake from the Bucks.
yeah.
We know
he has caught my eye, yes.
We know Jameis loves life to throw to the
yes.
tight end position.
I agree. Yep.
The Falcons struggle with middle of the field coverage, pass catching running backs, tight ends, because they have Paul Warlow, who might be the worst coverage linebacker in the NFL.
shots fired at Paul Warlow.
But he's a tackling machine, maybe because he's always chasing.
I think
exactly.
I think
not a hot, that is not a hot take. That's
I think
like
what I think Unga in New York with the Giants might be.
We'll talk
worse.
About them later too.
that is.
But great. Yeah, Cameron Brate's not a bad option too.
I do like Cameron Brate. Double digit performances in back to back weeks. Jameis Winston has a strong history at Florida State, anyways, of throwing to his tight end. I like it. I like it a lot. I mean, it's almost to the point where I was going to put Cameron Brate in the danger zone, and I'm like, is he?
It's not dangerous enough.
Is he dangerous?
Is he dangerous? I don't know if he's dangerous. I feel that confident in the play of Cameron Brate. All right, Andre Ellington, not likely to play. What has he got, a toe?
Turf toe.
Turf toe.
Yep. Turf toe, that dreaded ailment. It's like a high ankle sprain. What is it? I don't know, but who cares? He can't play.
It hurts.
Arians was talking about, was talking up really DJ. He said, DJ's my guy. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the lead back. David
well, he didn't say that.
He did
say that now?
Oh, he did.
I never know what to trust with Bruce Arians.
But Bruce Arians also hinting at a little bit of the old Stephon Taylor.
If we know anything about Bruce Arians...
He's a liar. Yes.
Well, yes. That. But he also loves his veterans.
His veterans,
you know. And there is, I mean, I'm excited about David Johnson this week.
Excited.
I think I have him ranked 13th among running backs, and that even might be being conservative considering the matchup. The Rams have given up over 200 receiving yards the last three games to running backs, and that's
wow.
that's David Johnson's biggest strength. I mean, they got thumped by Jeremy Langford through the air. Johnson's a great pass catcher, so theoretically, it's a great matchup for him. That might even be conservative, but. We do have to acknowledge that there is a very real, like 15 to 20 touch game for Stephon Taylor in our Ooh. Range of outcomes for this Ooh. Week.
It's yeah. a nightmare scenario.
But, I mean, we've seen what David Johnson can do on very little touches.
Yeah.
It's big things.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
So hopefully his uptick, even if Stephon Taylor does steal some, David Johnson still has a huge ceiling. For
if you're
week,
playing yeah. in a 50-50 in daily, is David Johnson pretty much a must play?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Considering his value and everything, he's not, you know, listed with a lot of other starting running backs. So I think you have to. But he's going to be one of the really popular plays of the
yeah,
week.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't believe that, you know, it's not a – well, I don't want to say it's not a great tournament play because I tell you what, if you're saving money there, you could really blow it out other places.
But if you're getting value, James, value.
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 But, no, in 50-50, I almost feel like, gosh, David Johnson, given his valuation, you throw him in the flex, it's like, good Lord, tremendous value there.
Yeah, with PPR formats.
That's what I'm saying, too. Exactly. All right, let's go to KC. The Chiefs, Charcandrick West, Spencer Ware will form a committee, allegedly.
According to Doug Peterson.
Which I don't buy at all. I don't,
you don't
buy it. No, I don't.
Really?
Buy it.
Oh, I do.
I buy it.
I do. I was. I don't buy it at all. This is what I was afraid of when Spencer Ware came in against the Chargers and went berserk for his with 90 yards and
he had
two touchdowns in that game. And then he followed it up with another 100 yards and a touchdown the next week. My fear was when Charcandrick West comes back, it's going to be a committee and we're all going to curl up in a little ball in the corner and cry and try to figure out what we're going to do next.
But I just don't. I just don't see looking at the Andy Reid history. I don't really see him doing that very often. There are times he forgets about his lead back, completely forgets about it. But when he's got a guy, he sticks with the guy.
Typically, I was looking at this before Fantasy Live yesterday, before the news of the committee came out, and like aside from the games where somebody got injured, his lead back this year had like 153 carries, and his second back had only had 28, like total. That was through all those games. Okay. However. Like, I think were you saying, Harmon, you can't put the genie back in the bottle with these two?
Cause, you
like,
can't put Ware back in the bottle,
no,
especially. And you look at teams in December, good, strong defense teams, when they have that hammer, that finishing running back, and that's what Ware is.
Yeah, he's the more powerful one.
He's a total bully. And I mean that, like, in a good way. You know, they're going to give him the rock to close out games, to salt away leads and everything, because that's the type of style that they play. So I think that he is a legitimate, you know, touchdown vulture threat. Late game touch vulture threat, which is, you know, that's not to degrade him because he's a really good talent.
I think they both have value this week, though, because they can be successful if they each only get 12 to 15 carries. Get a couple passes sprinkled in.
Yeah, West is a better pass catcher for sure.
I don't know if I buy it. Like, going back to last year, we saw Jamal Charles, you know, get injured briefly. Nile Davis comes in.
Yeah, but Nile Davis isn't good.
That's
a big difference.
That's the argument. Yes, that Nile Davis. Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. But, I mean, Nile Davis did perform regardless.
It did happen.
It did happen. Yes, it did happen. He quickly hit the sideline once Jamal Charles came back. Obviously, the talent gulf between Nile Davis and Jamal Charles, not the same as the talent gulf between Charcandrick West and Spencer Ware, if there even is a difference in talent level there. But I just going back to the history of Andy Reid, I just can't trust Spencer Ware is what I'm saying. If Charcandrick West is healthy, that's the point.
I'm with you, too, because when they're both healthy, West is the guy. Earlier in the season, you know, West was higher on the depth chart. He proved he can handle the bigger workload. Ware only got the opportunity because West went out. So I feel like they go back to West as the main guy.
And it depends on the severity of his hamstring injury, but it is a soft tissue injury.
They both
it's not
have
one
a hamstring,
of those
by the way.
Spencer Ware is dealing
popped
with
up on the injury report with one this week too. Not bad. He was still like a limited or full participant, but he had a hammy.
All right, so we'll keep a close eye on that one. Of course, watch NFL Fantasy Live on Sunday morning. With myself and the guys, we'll give you the latest on Charcandrick West and what to do in
that
backfield.
Good plug. Where can they watch it on Sunday mornings?
They can watch it on NFL Red Zone Channel, starting at, if you're on the West Coast, 8:30 in the morning, 11:30 Eastern, on NFL Red Zone. Not on NFL Network, NFL Red Zone Channel.
There you go, Shadow.
I remember watching you guys last year. I never thought I'd be here with you all.
Aww.
Hey, there you go. There you go. All right, here we go. Patriots, Danny Amendola returns to practice. Are you confident in playing him on Sunday?
Nope.
No.
No.
He practiced limited last week, too, and then he didn't travel with the team and he didn't play. So
he's also a slot receiver with, you know, those guys really need lower body explosion, you know, with a knee injury.
Yeah.
That's pretty concerning. I don't trust playing him at all. And I see a lot of people totally fine with him, but makes me nervous.
I can't do it this week yet.
Not yet.
You'd have to think the Patriots are game planning without him just because he's been out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they're doing that, then he could be in there and just not get any looks.
But I think if he's in there, I mean, I like him as a decoy maybe to help open things up for somebody like Brandon LaFell, maybe Scott Chandler.
Right.
Ooh. You know, you have Danny Amendola, even if he's not 100% running around, and the defense at least has to pay attention to him being out there.
Right.
But do you play him in fantasy?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
I do like Brandon LaFell a lot, though, this week.
Yes.
I do, too.
You know, Football Outsiders has routinely had the Eagles in their bottom three in terms of defending wide receivers, especially number one wide receivers. And by default, that is Brandon LaFell right now. And, you know, we talked last week on the Thanksgiving recap pod about how those Eagles coverage corners were just really poor. So.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, and they lost Nolan Carroll for the season, so the depth chart's thinning. It's
yikes. We know about angry Tom Brady.
Yes.
First of all, and I absolutely, like, we talk about narratives all the time. Like, that's the most annoying narrative of all time for me is, oh, Tom Brady's angry. He's going to take it out on the league. You know what? He's going to take it out on the league because he's good. You know, it's not because of the whole anger factor. And to me, I think if Bill Belichick is smart, with all these injuries piling up, Philadelphia can't stop anyone through the air, yes. They're even worse on the ground.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
They're even worse on the ground. And for me, I just think, okay, cold weather situation, they're playing at home, yes?
Yes.
They're playing at home. LeGarrette Blount, this feels like, to me, a LeGarrette Blount game.
Yeah, me too.
I agree.
I wrote about this in my player comparison tool article this week. If they're without Danny Amendola, they're game planning around the run game to attack Philadelphia's weakness, which is run defense, they're just going to give the ball to Blount all day.
See, now I feel like this is where you can see a lot of Brandon Bolden this week, though, because I go back to what we saw Theo Riddick do to that Eagle defense on Thanksgiving Day, and he did a lot of it through the air. And, you know, I don't know that Brandon Bolden quite has the agility or the quickness that Theo Riddick does, but I still think there's an opportunity for him to make some plays catching the football this week.
Sure. You know, we did some next-gen stats, or we saw some tape, anyways, on Theo Riddick, and I was just blown away by his ability to run routes. So crisp,
yeah.
So sharp. Mm-hmm. Linebackers got no chance. I mean, he was destroying Michael Kendricks. Michael Kendricks is a solid linebacker.
Good linebacker.
It's just, God, he looked terrible against Theo Riddick. You know, to your point, Marcus, though, I think what I – like, you talk about Detroit throwing it to Theo Riddick a bit. The difference is LeGarrette Blount and the Patriots, they can actually run the ball in a power formation.
True,
you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm a little bit torn what to do, especially in terms of ranking Tom Brady, because I know there's that whole the anger narrative, which I get. But is he going to throw it 50 times? I just don't see it, I guess, which to me kind of caps his value. Look, he's going to get his touchdowns because that's just what they do.
Yeah.
That's just what they do. They throw the ball to get scores. But I do feel like LeGarrette Blount, if you're wondering about LeGarrette Blount as a flex player as an RB2, I feel very confident in playing Blount this week against Philadelphia.
I'm with you on that.
All right, Nick Foles, Sam Bradford, Austin Davis, dogs living with cats, utter mayhem. This is just ridiculous.
Hey, it's worth a question. It's just a question. Is anybody going to start any of them in a league or in daily?
Nope.
No. If you play in a 2QB league, I guess you could start Austin Davis.
There we go.
Maybe. Austin.
Man. You had to dig deep for that one.
Let's just hope he got the memo to throw the ball to Gary Barnage.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all.
That's probably why he started.
That's really all we care about.
When he came in at the end of that game, he did throw the touchdown to Travis Benjamin.
Right. He did.
That's true.
That's true.
That's good.
He did. Any concern with Travis Benjamin?
Meh.
Yes. He's the same.
He's kind of there, you know? Yeah.
I think when McCown's not in there, he's more boomer bust.
Yeah.
When McCown's in there, he's been getting at least like 10 targets a game. I don't think that happens as much with Davis.
When Davis came in last week, he was targeting Brian Hartline a lot.
Gross.
Yeah, Hartline blink, baby.
Oh.
Go.
Yeah, we could see like 10 catches from Brian Hartline this week.
legitimately.
I mean,
no, it's true.
That sounds gross, but we could, 10 catches for like 58 yards or something.
Yeah.
Yes. God, I really wanted him to score that one touchdown. Why couldn't you just score that touchdown? We could have run that Hartline blink clip again. What a drag. What a jerk not to get in the end zone. All right, let's talk about good and bad matchups for the upcoming week. I will throw it over to the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin. What do you got for me, pal?
Well, I think this is an interesting game to talk about. Harmon and I were talking about it on the couch a little bit last night, and the Bears-49ers game actually offers quite a bit of fantasy potential because Alshon Jeffrey, I think, is in line for a monster game, assuming he plays. The 49ers give up over like 9.19 yards per target, which is the highest mark in the league. And we know Alshon Jeffrey gets fed targets. He gets over 11 a game. It's just all slating up for him to have a huge day. And he and Cutler are both are like a decent value stack in DFS, too.
Well, Cutty and Alshon stacks for sure.
That number you talk about with, you know, the targets and the yards per game and stuff, you have to factor in the fact that the Niners are, I won't say good at home, but better at home. They are awful on the road, so that bodes very, very well.
Yeah,
for
those
Alshon
Jeffrey. Numbers, that was overall too.
Right.
Those numbers,
yeah,
go up.
That's what I'm saying.
When you just look at the road split.
Just the road split is much more different. The other part is, I think if I read this right, this was the first week Alshon Jeffrey hasn't been listed on the injury reports.
Yes.
In about a month.
Yes.
Celebrate.
So there you go.
Fully healthy.
Oh my.
Alshon Jeffrey.
There you
is
go.
Greater than injured Alshon Jeffrey.
Yes.
Yes.
There's some strong analysis.
Yes. But when he's 100%, he's a beast.
Yeah, absolutely. So. He's my number one receiver this week.
Is he?
In our rankings, yeah.
All right.
I think he's going to thump that 49ers secondary. You mentioned the home road splits. I think their quarterback rating, if my computer was charged like a professional, I could have read this accurately. But I'm pretty sure that their quarterback rating allowed on the road is 121 in that neighborhood, and then at home, it's a 86. So that's a pretty big difference.
That is quite a jump.
Yes.
What do we make of that backfield, by the way? Jeremy Langford, Matt Forte.
I think they both can be started.
I think so, too.
Flex guys.
Flex, for sure.
I think both of them are good flexes.
I probably prefer Langford just because he's a bigger play threat. Like, if I had to pick, like, because some people have told me, I have both, what do I do? I'm like, I guess I would defer to Langford. It's a pretty even split, and he's the bigger play threat, so.
But
Forte got a lot more carries in the red zone last
week. It's true.
Langford got the touchdown, but they kept just giving it the ball to Forte in the red zone. So,
well, you got to wonder too, is Matt Forte getting healthier? If
yes.
he's getting healthier, does that split now become 70-30 Matt Forte? You know what I mean? Right. Where does that split go? I guess if it's 50-50, you feel great about playing both. If it's not 50-50, what do you do?
I think it is going to be 50.
I think it's going to be
play both.
It was about 50-50 last week. It was pretty even.
But Matt Forte was coming back from that knee injury.
It's true.
Yes.
They're not going to stop giving the ball to Langford after how he produced, though.
Yeah, even if
they've said that.
They did say he would be the starter by name only. Or
yeah.
Ian Rappaport said that.
The only problem is that John Fox is also a liar.
Yeah,
he's a liar.
But he didn't even like try to hide the fact that he's a liar either.
Even if the snap count carries lean more in Forte's favor,
all right.
They're not going to not give Langford opportunities. He'll still be a flex play.
He's earned them.
I love Jeremy Langford so much that I've been trying to talk myself into it that, like, even if Matt Forte gets the bulk of the carries early, they're going to, in my mind, I'm like, oh, they're going to blow him out, right? So then they're going to rest Forte in the second half, and then it'll be Langford in the second half. I don't know if that's going to be true.
This is what fantasy does to you, man.
I know.
You're like a madman riding on a cave wall.
So, okay, so there you go. We're all, I guess, relatively big on Jeremy Langford, so there you go. Sean Drone hasn't gotten enough burn, I don't believe.
I feel like
he's the Colonel Sanders secret sleeper
like
of the week.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been a slow burn for Sean Drone.
Okay, yeah.
You know, it's starting. I mean, you know, a few weeks ago when they signed him, we all kind of, like, chuckled. Like,
right.
Whatever, you know, and then we started to watch this team and watch this offense, and I think it's kind of slowly been building. I mean, the guy's gotten 20 touches in back-to-back games. All three games. Yeah,
yeah,
you know, I was looking in those three games, he's played 85% of the running back snaps in San Francisco. So he's pretty much the only guy getting on the field right now since Blaine Gabbert took over. You pointed this out, Harmon, that Sean Drone is the most targeted player in the offense. Mind you, Anquan Boldin missed a game during that time, but still, 21 targets in three games. They are using this guy a lot.
Yes.
You mentioned the snap count. He played 100% of the snaps last week. He's the only running
back
to do that this season.
That's
100%?
Every single play. Not like 100% of the running back snaps, 100% of the team snaps.
That's insane.
Only running back to do that this year.
That is insane. All right, so Sean Drone, if he's available on the waiver wire, he's at least worth a bench ad.
He's worth a start. I mean, the Bears aren't a good defense.
I mean, at least flex him.
Yeah. Especially in PPR leagues, like you mentioned the target thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good daily play?
Yes.
Yes?
For sure. I'm into
it. For sure.
I'm into it. Well, you know me, man. I'm into this sort of stuff.
There you go. All right. Let's talk about the Jets offense. Matt Harmon, who do you like there? And, well, I know who you like.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. I love Eric Decker this week.
By the way, we'll be on Friday's NFL Fantasy Live.
Is he really?
He will
tune
be
in.
On. Nice. Tune in.
Why can't we have Matt Harmon interviewing the guy?
Because there would be too much love and not enough information.
You're wearing a headband and you haven't showered. Oh my gosh, that would be the best.
Now that would be something. You guys,
that would be the best.
You guys are all wearing suits. I come in there with the sweatshirt.
That'd be great.
That would be good television.
That might be gritty.
That would be gritty.
That would be gritty.
Oh my gosh.
But in all seriousness, Eric Decker this week, other than the fact that he is the greatest wide receiver to ever play. No.
After Allen Robinson,
mind you, you're right. But actually, this is a really great matchup for him because you mentioned at Gelhar earlier that the Giants linebackers stink in coverage, which is why they're one of the worst teams at defending the tight end. Now, the Jets don't have a tight end.
Cumby!
I mean, theoretically, they have one on the
deck. They have a man that plays the position.
Right, yeah. But they don't throw to them. This offense funnels through Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, and Decker runs most of his routes out of the slot. In the red zone especially, they run that little, like, it's literally like it's just for him.
Yeah.
Which is so special. he runs that little slant, and then they block off the defenders. That's a very tight end-esque play. He does a lot of those same things that the tight end position does. So I think he is a candidate to thump the Giants this week. He has 80 yards or a touchdown in all of his starts this year, and I think he's going to get over 100 yards and at least one touchdown.
Yeah, the Giants secondary in general also allows the most or the second most yards to receivers and the most passing yards per game. So Fitzpatrick Marshall stack is good. I like Fitzpatrick. I have him as top 10 QB this week too.
Do you?
I dig it.
I like it.
All right.
How about Chris Ivory?
Solid.
Yeah.
Fire him up.
Yep. We're not worried about Billy Powell?
Billy Powell?
Billy Powell.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay. I guess that one didn't run over the Fantasy Fortress too well. All right. I try.
I mean,
I try.
Adam Rank is the king of those silly nicknames that he likes throwing out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we take a lot of liberties with other people's names
here. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And their origins as well.
Yes.
West Virginia's finest chiming in on the podcast.
Oh, my God.
Let's Colts Steelers.
Yes, Colts Steelers.
Fireworks in this game.
I like it. I think it's going to be a super high-scoring game.
Yep.
I mean, especially because, you know, the league's greatest quarterback, Matt Hasselbeck, who can't be beaten.
He's undefeated, man.
He can't be beaten. He will be starting against that Steelers secondary that gave up 5 touchdown passes to Russell Wilson. I mean, who's to say that Matt Hasselbeck can't go for 6 or 7?
All he does is win.
That's good logic.
You heard it here first, folks. Look, the one player I think I don't start, Frank Gore.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's run defense is outstanding. Frank Gore is still banged up. That Colts offensive line does not excel at run blocking right now.
I mean, there's talk of Boom Heron getting some work.
Well, he should, because Ahmad Bradshaw's on IR now, and they brought Zerlon Tipton back up, but they're not going to start feeding him carries.
Yeah.
Oh, I guarantee we're going to see him on Monday at THNO. Zerlon Tipton.
Better Star Wars name, Zerlon Tipton or Orleans Darkwa?
Orleans Darkwa.
Darkwa. 100%.
I could see Orleans Darkwa, you know, with a lightsaber that's got 3 prongs out of it. I don't know how he does it, but he's got 3 prongs on this lightsaber.
He's got like a lightsaber pitchfork, let's be honest. That's what he fights with. A trident, I mean.
There it is. Alex Gelhart is on to something here. He's watched many Star Wars.
I may have read this script for Star Wars Episode 8.
You
just
may
kidding.
Have.
No.
He may have contributed.
They don't let that stuff
I'd
out.
I believe it.
They would have killed me if I read it.
I believe it.
In terms of the Colts offense, who do you like? Are you guys concerned about T.Y. Hilton at all? Do you like Dante Moncrief more or less in this matchup?
I prefer Moncrief, personally.
I think I'm actually slightly leaning toward Hilton in this one.
Yeah.
That was good clarity, fellas.
Yeah. What about you, wide receiver whisperer? Be the deciding vote.
I don't have a really good read on this situation either. I think that I probably prefer Moncrief, but I was listening to another podcast last night, the Rummy and Ray podcast, while I was at the gym, listen to podcasts, cranking weights, you know. and they were making a good point about in DFS, like, you should probably build some lineups around this game. And one good thing that you can do is because both of these two teams have these 2 stud receivers,
yeah,
they just funnel the targets through those guys, you can make sort of, you know, mix and match. Like, you should have and Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger stack, and then you could have a Ben and Martavis, and then each one you just flip those Colts receivers, because in these high-scoring games, it's good to have there's a lot of correlation between the two passing games in shootouts. So
right.
That's probably – I would just
– We saw it last week with the Steelers and Seahawks.
Exactly.
That game started getting out of control. I mean, granted – for some reason, Marcus Wheaton was the one that was driving the Pittsburgh pass attack.
That was the worst thing that's happened.
Oh, my gosh. That was
not
great.
For franchise. I mean, well, Guyana, you guys lost, but had they won, he
horrible.
Would have loved it.
Even the Steelers game. Came out this week and were like, or Tomlin, I can't remember the exact quote, but he said something like, yeah, I wouldn't count on that happening again. Like, even he said that about his own player.
That is fabulous.
Can't believe it.
A stack that I'm working with in one lineup, Cam Newton, Greg Olsen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All day.
Against the Saints. I know that's going to be a very popular
yes.
Stack this week, and I get it. But, you know, again, in those 50-50 leagues, why not? But, yeah, the Carolina Panthers taking on the Saints. What don't you like in that matchup?
The Saints?
Saints.
All Saints?
How are the Saints going to –
Brandon Cooks?
See, I don't think – I wouldn't play Cooks because of Josh Norman.
Cooks is done.
If Snead was playing, and he's out, I'm pretty sure – I would have thought he would have been a really good matchup because they're weakest in the slot. Especially, I think Charles Thomas is going to play, but if he didn't, it moves all their corners around.
Yeah.
And then especially Colin
Jenga,
Jones or
– Jenga thing or dominoes. Yeah. Whatever.
Cortland Finnegan, they just signed him.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, so if Willie Snead was playing, I would have liked him. I do think that Ben Watson's an interesting play because they're going to move the football through the air somehow. I think that that's probably the most logical place that it goes, unless it's like Marcus Colster or something. But I do like Ingram in the game for the Saints.
I was going to say, I'm still going to start Ingram. I'm not going to have as high of hopes, but you can't start a guy that gets that much volume. You know, I was staying in the NFC South. That other game, I kind of have a fear that it's going to be low scoring. The Bucks-Falcons game?
I could see that.
With two
I
kind of like
too.
Both,
I really could
both
see
defenses
that.
Are playing relatively well. The Falcons with Desmond Trufant and their cornerbacks can probably shut down drop-heavy Mike Evans and stuff. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I do worry about that. I mean, here's the thing. You talk about Desmond Trufant and those corners there. How much better would they be if they had any kind of a pass rush? I mean, there's just not much there. But somehow they still find a way to succeed back there. But I do worry that they lock down on Mike Evans. I know Jameis Winston's been better with the football in the last month or 6 weeks or
He's
so.
He's been great.
But I do think this is a week. I don't think he has a meltdown. I don't think he poops the bed or anything. But I do think there could be a pick or two coming this week.
Oh gosh,
I like Doug Martin, Adrian.
Yeah.
Peters
yes.
Just tore
the Duggernaut
apart last week. So
the I'll tell you what. If you play in DFS, I think it's worth throwing out a Matt Ryan lineup. I know that sounds
whoa.
I know that sounds gross based on what he's done.
Very contrarian.
Well, first of all, this is coming from you. Who are you?
I know. I don't even.
The guy that got into Twitter fights with Falcons fans.
Yo, roasted Falcons fans.
You did.
Boom.
Anyways, but yeah, no, I think Matt. I don't think Matt Ryan is a great quarterback. But I also don't think he forgot how to play quarterback. I think at some point he's going to have a rebound game. Nobody's going to touch Matt Ryan in DFS
right.
because of that. And when it's a really good opportunity, I think, for a contrarian play on a guy that has a good pedigree. He has Julio Jones.
Do you stack him with Jones?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Jones has thumped the – I keep saying thumped today, but he's roasted the Buccaneers historically. So I think that – those two are going to have a big day.
That is interesting.
Yeah. And I think the Bucks. I mean, I've got Julio Jones in my DFS line all over the place, but and I know his valuation is just out of control, but against the Bucks, man, the Bucks have struggled this year defensively. The Falcons don't know what to do other than,
hand it to Freeman.
And throw it to Julio Jones. That's it.
Yeah, I could see that side having a better day, especially because that Bucs secondary just kind of got taken to task by Matt Hasselbeck and company.
Right.
But they've had kind of up and down peaks and valley games with that defense.
Very much.
I don't know. I have a tough read on this game.
I like the Bucs D as a streaming option just because Matt Ryan
Ooh,
can't stop throwing picks.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's tasty.
In a season-long league, I wouldn't touch Matt Ryan. There are guys like Cutler, and I would rather play Osweiler than Matt Ryan in a season-long league. But
Ditto.
I just think it's a good contrarian play for DFS.
Okay, like it. And you're going to be throwing those into a bunch of tournament plays, I would imagine.
Correct. I will write about him today in the roundup.
DFS roundup. There we go.
Ooh, there you go. All right. San Diego's offense, I see on here.
I scared. Real scared.
I don't
think I'm starting any part of that offense against Denver.
Yeah, Stevie Johnson on my bench.
Would probably be the only one.
I've shed a couple tears for Danny Woodhead in the last week or so.
Yeah, that's what happened there.
It's over.
They're trying to make Melvin Gordon a thing.
They really
Stop.
Are. They are.
Stop
they are force feeding Melvin Gordon.
But they kind of have to. I mean, they got to know what they have in the guy going into next year.
No, it's true. It's. So. I mean, this, they're not going to make the playoffs or anything, so they're going to feed Melvin Gordon to know and assess for next season and see what they got. They know what Danny Woodhead is. They know his heart. They know his grit.
This room, this side of the glass got real somber. I know you're over there,
I can
Alex,
tell.
But I, you can feel
I can see it. Man. I mean, there were a lot of heads hanging when we were talking about Danny Woodhead.
Not here. I don't understand the love affair for Danny Woodhead.
He was like, what's wrong with
him? I feel like
you're the fantasy Grinch right now.
No, I'm not.
You're wearing green?
You're wearing green.
I am wearing green. What does that have to do with Danny Woodhead?
Guess what? Next year, you're going to draft Danny Woodhead, and he's going to lead you to a championship, and then your heart is going to grow three sizes.
You'll understand.
But I won't if I'm playing a league with you guys.
Why don't you join all the Who's down here in Whoville?
We're sad.
I don't understand it. He's just another player.
He's just another player.
Why?
Did you just call Danny Woodhead a jag? Are you serious?
I don't get it.
You're a jag.
I didn't say he's just another guy. He's a good player. Okay. That's fine.
Got a different acronym we don't need to yell at.
Yeah, no. Oh, I just thought about that, too. That's really funny.
I don't get it. What? Okay.
All right. Anyways, why don't we move on?
Makes no sense.
Oh, I like Brock Osweiler and Emmanuel Sanders to be another one of the stacks.
That's a good one, too.
100%. The Bronco run game.
Yes.
Against San Diego? Yeah,
absolutely.
CJ's back, baby.
All day.
I will take
Let's
that.
Go.
I will take that
they
for
can't
sure.
Take it, haters.
Miracles on Fantasy Street.
Yes.
Basically, it's a playoff of yesterday's game because, holy cow, what did we see yesterday?
Do you believe in miracles?
Do you believe?
And let's be real. Given all the injuries and the star players that have struggled and stuff,
right.
A lot of fantasy teams heading into the playoffs could use a miracle.
I agree.
So who's got one for us, guys? What miracle are you hoping for? I mean,
give me a long shot play that you're hoping.
I got one.
Give me one, franchise.
My boy, Kamar Aiken.
Yeah.
Is going to be a top 10 wide receiver for the rest of the season.
Okay.
There it is.
Wow, there it is.
Boom. Here's why. Starting this week, here's why.
Okay.
The last 3 weeks with Steve Smith out, Kamar Aiken has played on 88% of the Falcons, Ravens offensive snaps.
Which helps. You
gotta be out there. He's their guy. This week, they travel to Miami.
Okay.
Kamar Aiken is from South Florida. It's a homecoming game.
Oh, my God.
Oh, narrative.
Yes.
Last year, when the Ravens went to Miami, Kamar Aiken, week 14, had a breakout game.
Oh, my God.
First week of December.
He
had homecoming game, 6 catches, 65 yards, and a touchdown.
I like it. There's only like 40 people in the stands. 20 of them will be Kamar Aiken.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, in the last 3 games without Steve Smith, he's accounted for 49% of Baltimore's wide receiver receiving yards.
Dude, I love it.
He's the guy. Matt Schaub also said this week that he likes him. This is a quote from Matt
Franchise
Schaub.
Franchise coming through with Matt Schaub quotes.
We just shut down this topic right
boom.
Now.
Boom.
He's shown the ability to have strong hands and go in and attack the football, not wait on the football. You've got to love that as a quarterback.
Matt Schaub.
If Aiken's quarterback is saying that about him, you know he's going to be
all right.
Him all day.
Also, for the record, over the last 4 weeks, I was just looking. Kamar Aiken is a top 25 wide receiver, and he's only played in 3 games.
Hello.
There you go. Let's go. Kamar Aiken, top 10 fantasy wideout.
Put it on the board.
I like it.
This was your best work.
Got narratives. You got quotes from Matt Schaub.
That was professional.
Narrative Street.
Sorry, everybody else that has to follow up Franchise's miracle.
I'm not going
to
know, right?
And the thing is, too, he just jumped on that quick.
That might be tapping out.
I had it ready.
He was ready to rock and roll.
Man,
he wasn't waiting
was
on that one.
Beauty.
I like that one. All right. What do you got for me, Alex Gilhar?
Mine, the rest of the season, is that Chris Ivory's hamstring is going to heal, and it's going to be loose. And he is going to get loose on defenses the rest of the way and not frustrate his fantasy owners. And the miracle will be he will get double-digit fantasy points the rest of the way.
Beautiful.
I would love that.
Or he's gonna get an early Christmas present. It's going to be a new hamstring. He'll be fine the rest of the way.
Here you go. All right, Matt Harmon, what's up?
I'm going to go the franchise route and default to one of my guys, too.
All right.
Eric Decker.
No.
Will be the best receiver in the game. Moving forward.
He gets inducted into the Hall of Fame early.
Okay, good.
No. So we've all been really excited to see this, kind of a rebound campaign from Larry Fitzgerald.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to slow down towards the end of the season. Not fall off a cliff, but he's older. You know, I mean, it's going to happen. And John Brown becomes a top 10 fantasy wide receiver.
Ooh.
We already know he's good.
I'm down with that.
We already know
Speaking of needing new hamstrings.
Yeah, but he's healthy now.
Allegedly.
Well, he looked healthy last week. Had 99 yards against the San Francisco defense, and they were playing at home.
Okay.
He's got the deep speed back. He had that 40-plus yard catch.
Mm-hmm.
I love John Brown. I mean, I love Allen Robinson. I love Eric Decker. I love Martavis Bryant, and I love John Brown. Those four are, like, my boys. and Steve Smith. Those are, like, my five boys.
And Jordy Nelson.
Okay, we're not talking about you right now. but John Brown is, I think, T.Y. Hilton, but a little bit better. And that I've already fought Twitter on that hot take, so we can go back to August on that one. but I think that Brown is in a position to have that sort of special playoff run campaign like we saw from Larry Fitzgerald a few years ago. Maybe not to the same, like, legendary degree, but I think he's going to play a huge role down the stretch, and that's my fantasy miracle.
Dude, nice. I like it. MG, what's up?
Well, because running backs have been so scarce, especially in the latter part of the season,
yes.
It would be great to see a guy that a lot of people gave up on really start to rebound. And what I really hope, what the miracle I really want to happen is that Gary Kubiak stop being intimidated by Akbar Bajabiamila and his love for San Diego State and realize that the best running back he has on his roster, the pride of Jesse M. Bethel High School in Vallejo, California, one Cortell Javon C.J. Anderson.
Oh, my gosh. You looked up his
Cortell
full name.
Cortell Javon.
Get the majority of the carries the rest of the way.
No, not majority. All of them.
All of them.
That's the fantasy miracle.
Behind Brock Osweiler in the offense that you, Gary Kubiak, curated, loved, nurtured, and brought to the Mile High City.
Wow.
Let your dream be realized fully.
Let your dream be realized.
Let C.J. Anderson run free.
Cortell?
Javon.
I'm writing this down. Cortell? Javon.
Yes.
C.J. Anderson.
Yes. It's a miracle.
This is great.
Amen.
Oh my
amen
gosh.
To that one.
The fact that you know that is amazing. That is good. Cortell.
There it is.
What kind of name is that? That's amazing.
It's a miracle name.
I like that one a lot. I hope to see that come true. I'd love to see all my Cal Bears do well, so there you go. Cortell Javon. Look at that. I will go.
This one.
I need one. I need one bad. I need Dante Moncrief to go back-to-back 200-yard games.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do.
I need back-to-back 200-yard performances. Will that get me? First of all, that would put me back on track.
Put you back on track.
That would put me back on track. So I got weeks 13, 14, 15.
Okay.
And 16.
And 16. You have 4 weeks.
So I got four weeks.
He's at 584 yards.
Right. So I
need back-to-back 200-yard games pretty much gets you there.
Oh, my gosh. That's
pretty
right.
Pretty much gets you there.
Wait, so what's he at? 540?
584.
584. Okay, so he needs what? Math skills not great. 500 and.
He's 516.
516.
No. 416.
No, 516.
March to 1100.
Oh, 1100. I'm sorry.
516. Yes.
516 over four games. Somebody do the math real quick. What is that?
129 per game.
Yo, okay. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
All right, that's a miracle, James. That's it.
That's what I need. I need Dante Moncrief to get to 1,100 yards by the end of week 16.
I feel like every week we've been like, okay, so what does he need now for the rest of the season?
No, actually, we stopped doing that after week 8 because it was just like, okay.
He got killed by those back-to-back games with Denver and Carolina.
He had like a 30-yard game and then like,
yeah, like a 9-yard game.
9-yard game mixed in.
But hey, as we saw last night on Thursday Night Football, miracles do happen.
Miracles
all right, guys.
Happen.
Can we get a Marcus Wheaton-type 200-yard performance from Dante Moncrief?
That no, I mean, he's – don't degrade Dante Moncrief.
all right. Yes. I want to let's do a quick mailbag question. I'm going to play one of these NFL primetime songs. I'm going to throw questions at you guys. When the song is done, we will be done. And with no analysis, just you guys give me your answers.
Okay.
All right, ready.
And we're going to go around the horn. We'll start with Marcus. Okay. We'll go around the horn.
One sec. I'm just going to adjust the volume so I don't blow out our listeners here.
Okay.
All right.
Hit me.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Marcus.
Yeah.
Demaryius Thomas or Martavis Bryant, PPR?
Martavis.
All right. Harmon, let's see. Breeze or Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Fitz, baby.
All right. Kamar Aiken or Dez Bryant, franchise?
Kamar Aiken.
Yeah!
There we go. James, Dez Bryant or Jeremy Maclin?
Jeremy Maclin, all day.
Woo. All right, Marcus, Mark Ingram or Darren McFadden?
Run DMC, baby.
Yeah!
Excellent. I'm going to turn this down a little bit more. Let's see. Stephon Diggs, David Johnson, or Devontae Parker is a flex, Harmon?
David Johnson, easy.
There we go.
Easy.
All right. James, Scott Chandler or Jordan Reed?
Oh, Scott Chandler all day.
Another Kamar Aiken one for franchise.
Yes!
Crabtree or Kamar Aiken?
I got to go Crabtree.
There we go. All right. Marcus.
What?
Marvin Jones.
Or what? What's wrong with you?
Marvin Jones or Dontrell Inman?
That would be.
Oh, gross. Marvin Jones.
All right. Harmon, Tyrod Taylor or Brian Hoyer?
Tyrod.
There you go. James, flex Dez Bryant, Brandon LaFell, or Jeremy Hill?
Oh, my God. Jeremy Hill.
All right. Franchise, Gurley or C.J. Anderson?
This week, I got to go C.J.
All right, there
wow!
we go.
Pride strong
of Jesse,
take.
Pride of Jesse Bethel High.
Marcus.
Portel.
Marcus, Brandon LaFell or Travis Kelce, PPR?
I'm going to say Kelce.
All right. Harmon, I'm going to give you a non-quarterback one because those keep coming up. All right, Evans, Macklin, or D. Thomas, which two do you use?
I think I would sit Thomas.
All right, frisky. Ooh. All right, let's see. James, Rawls, Todd Gurley,
Rawls.
Or Lamar Miller? Oh, Rawls, wow.
Yeah.
All right. All right, franchise, well, this is the last one. DeMarco Murray or LeGarrette Blount at the flex?
Blount.
There we go. All right, the song's just about done. We'll fade that out.
That just takes me back to my childhood and, like, Sunday afternoons playing football in the streets with my friends and then, like,
dude,
running inside to check out the NFL.
I loved it. I would sit down and watch Berman, you know, rip through all his weird sound effects for an hour every Sunday, and it was the greatest. All right, let's dap and get out of here.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the day.
Daps and hugs. Give me daps, because I'll be scribbling right.
Give me dapping up, daps abound, daps up.
My favorite part of the show, Daily Daps, because I get so many interesting nuggets from you guys. Stuff that I would never check out on my own, but stuff that you guys recommend, and it's always good and solid. I love this stuff. And we've got two, I don't want to say new, but, you know, newish looks on Daily Daps as well. But we will start with the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin. What's up, Daily Daps?
I don't think I daily dapped this last Friday.
Okay.
Harmon and I saw the movie Creed. We saw it after Friday, duh. We saw Creed last week for my birthday, and it's phenomenal. So if you get a chance, definitely go out, check out Creed. One of my favorite movies of the year, and I think one of the best of the year too. Every part of it was fantastic.
Really?
Yeah. Even for, like, as a movie by itself, and for the nostalgia play for the Rocky franchise.
Okay.
Creed, awesome.
Solid. Michael B. Jordan, solid actor.
Very good actor.
Yeah, man.
And Harmon's going to try his workout routine this offseason.
Yeah, I'm going to get on the diet.
Woo!
When I'm, yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be good. I'm going to come in here looking
just ripped. Shredded.
Shredded.
I'll be like.
People are going to be asking about performance-enhancing drugs.
Everybody's going
to be whispers. There's going to be a lot of whispers out there. Like,
I'm going to get myself a regular on the pod because I'm going to be like, you guys are going to let me on the pod. James like, well, I don't know. We have everybody here today. I'm like, no, you're going to let me on the pod.
Intimidation factor.
First of all, why do you make it sound like I'm the cop here? That, like.
I don't know.
I'm not the gatekeeper. I don't know.
You were closest.
I want everyone on the pod. What the hell? All right. Marcus Grant, what's up?
I am daily dapping my favorite unofficial holiday of the year, which comes tomorrow.
What is that?
Tomorrow, Saturday, is December 5th, which will be repeal day. It is the 82nd anniversary Ooh. Of the ratification of the 21st Amendment, which repealed the 18th Amendment. In short form, we can drink liquor and not worry about it.
Yeah!
For years in this country, we made the awful, awful mistake of banning the sale of alcohol. And while it did get us a whole lot of great mafia movies and even some middling ones.
It did get some good mafia movies.
By Shia LaBeouf.
True.
You know, we can overlook that one. But you know what? You know, it has been, I think, fair to say, a rough year at times here in America. It has not always been an easy go of it in 2015. And sometimes you come home and you just need a drink.
Yeah, man.
So on December 5th, everybody get together. Whether or not you drink, I know a lot of people out there abstain, and that is your choice. But I think on December 5th, it is the day that just because you have your right as an American to have a drink, you pour yourself something.
And it falls on a Saturday?
Falls on a Saturday, too.
What?
So if you aren't the kind who normally abstains, you can go out and drink your face off.
There you go.
Responsibly, of course.
Of course.
But
use that Uber.
Here's the other part of this. We celebrate St. Patrick's Day, which isn't really American.
No.
We celebrate Cinco de Mayo, which is not American. This is a drinking holiday that is uniquely American, and I feel like it is certainly underappreciated and underrecognized.
But here's the marketing problem. We need a name for it.
Repeal day's not good enough?
Repeal day is a great day.
Good.
Repeal day's good?
Repeal day's good.
Okay, repeal day is
good. I like repeal day.
You know what? Repeal day is good.
So there it is. So go celebrate repeal day at some point on Saturday.
All right.
Speed through these here. What else we got?
Armin, what's up?
Yeah, in my whole theme today of the headband and the mountain sweatshirt.
West Virginia.
Not West
Virginia. Mason jars. Handlebar mustaches. Keep going.
Anyway, I'm going to give a dap to one of my favorite poets. Again, one of the more different sides of me that I don't convey often in the fantasy football world is I'm a big fan of poetry and literature in general. Walt Whitman, one of my favorite poets.
Absolutely.
When I heard The Learned Astronomer is my favorite poem by him. It's a really cool I was reading it the other night again for the first time in a while. It's a good like kind of you know, he talks about how listening to like the sky and the, you know, in a classroom setting wasn't really how he truly experienced knowledge or gained anything of value. But then when he goes out into the world, you know, into the wilderness or experience things in a more unique and real fashion, that was where he truly became educated. And I think that's a very important lesson for all of us.
You are truly the fantasy hipster.
I know, I'm terrible.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
That's fantastic.
Daily Daps, I got a few of them. I saw the Civil War trailer. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, Captain America Civil War.
Oh, my gosh, Civil War looked amazing. We talked about Chris Berman. I'll give a Daily Dap to Chris Berman. Chris Berman is actually the reason why I got into this business.
Nice.
I wanted to be like him, and he inspired me to try to get into this business.
Did you practice sound effects as a kid?
Of course I did. First of all, you guys know my love of giving nicknames as well. That's a Chris Berman specialty. So it's an homage to the old Chris Berman there. And my final Daily Dap will go to I know I've done this before, but you know, the hardworking folks of local news. I used to work in local news. It is at times a meat factory, and it's tough. But you know what? And I know they get derided 99% of the time. I get it. But when stuff like the Riverside tragedy happens, these guys are putting their boots to the ground. They're giving you the info you need. You know, it's interesting, too. You go to the cable networks, Fox News, CNN, you know, NBC or whatever it is. I tell you what. They don't cut to their network guys. They cut to their local news affiliates. Mm-hmm. And those guys are the guys getting you that info. And they do a very hard work. And, you know, I'll tell you this, being in the local news biz, having covered mass shootings before, it wears on you mentally, physically, emotionally. And these guys have to put it all aside to do a 90-second news hit. And for those guys, I give Daily Daps. It's a very hard business, and they're doing a great job. And I know that we don't give them enough respect 99% of the time when they're covering dog show stories. But when they do this kind of stuff, man, you realize how much you need and should respect
absolutely.
The news aspect. All right, so there you go. So those are your Daily
Daps. And we got franchise, too.
Oh, did I not? I felt like we got the whole Kamar Aiken thing. And
still here, guys.
All right.
I got a couple quick ones. First of all, Scott Weiland, lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots.
R.I.P., man.
Revolver. Rest in peace. Influential guy in music. Sad note there. My music pick of the week is called The Work EP by Marcus Marr and Chet Faker, which came out today. It's on Spotify. Check that out. And my last app is going to go to my buddy in my league of record.
Okay.
His name's Jason Barnett. This week he picked up
the
wrong David Johnson. He picked up David Johnson tight end on San Diego.
Yes!
And I roasted him really hard in our league email chat. And
oh,
I just want to give daps to him for being a good
sport. It was, he forwarded us the email. It was hilarious.
It was awesome.
Definitely to Franchise's Twitter feed, at Matt Franchise, and check out the public humiliation he put the poor guy under.
But daps to Jay for being a good sport. He'll probably be in the playoffs. So.
That is amazing.
That's fantastic.
Pick up the wrong David Johnson.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
That's a danger zone.
That's danger zone right there.
He used his waiver priority claim to do it, and he dropped Orleans Darkwa, which, you know, why did he even own him in the first place?
That's
all right.
Amazing.
On that note.
All right, a great podcast here.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast for the franchise for Matt Harmon, MG Marcus Grant, the WizKid from Wisconsin. I'm James Coe. We're out.